sounded like Mark. By the way, this is Pick on Mark Day. So, hey, y'all didn't tell me where I left off. You gonna make me search? Okay, so we got through chapter 11, right? You need to understand, you got to help me on this because I do a lot of studying and it kind of runs together. And for some reason, I've stopped marking the page. Now I got to start marking this where I stop, okay? Okay. I hope that what you're doing is during this, and the further we get along, the more important this is. Go back and read Revelation again with the thought process that we've already started, with the definitions and the words, so we don't lose place. Revelation jumps back and forth fast and a lot. And of course, you need to understand that's not confusion. That's a vision that happened all at one time. And it's, you know, if you've ever seen one, who was I sitting with the other day? And God showed me something. Bill. That's right, I was with Bill. And we were praying, and during that prayer, just a millisecond, God showed me this huge thing that I stumbled and fumbled, tried to tell him a little bit of it, and then just gave up. I felt like an idiot trying to tell him because it was kind of like going front, back, all around, bouncing. That's the way I feel like John was right about now. He saw this huge thing, and he's trying to tell it, and it nearly makes him look like he's addled, you know. So don't feel that way about him. He's just... He got a hold of a tiger by the tail in this vision. Jesus Christ. And once again, I will remind you that when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about what John saw here, which is everything from before time till after time. That's why it's so huge. Seems like everybody's leaving. Hope it was something I said. Okay, 12, verse 1. Make sure that I don't need to tie it together. They were worshiping. Okay. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, you got the picture? Well, what is the picture? I mean, when you read Scripture, ask God for the picture. You got a bride, a woman, a bride, okay, clothed in light, clothed with sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is a victorious bride in light, right? This is the bride of Christ he's talking about. She was crowned with the universe. And she being with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered, are anxious to give birth. She was pregnant and very anxious to give birth. Let me tell you what we need to be feeling right now. As the bride of Christ, this is the picture that we need to be feeling. It's what worship will do for you. It will give you a desire to give birth to Jesus. Right? I had a desire the other day when that guy asked me. I wanted to see Jesus birthed in him. I wanted that. I don't want Jesus. A woman does not get pregnant so she can be pregnant for the rest of her life. She gets pregnant so that she can give birth to some, to that life form. Hopefully it's a child. And so that that child can be a minister to something else. I don't know why I said life form. I've been watching Star Trek too much or something. That was a way to correct myself, not make a joke. What was wrong with me? But you give birth for the child and for the future. Right? All right. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. By the way, this was referred to as a wonder. Now you know that you are a wonder to God. You are a wonder in the vision of other people. This is neat. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This was one sign that came, this bride. Another sign came. Let me give you the definition of a red dragon. A fiery, fascinating serpent. Not scary. You know why that all the scary shows and movies are put on television? so that you won't recognize the true serpent when he comes. We now have the idea that the serpent, when he appears, will be scary. He won't. The Bible specifically tells us he'll be beautiful. And this word is fascinating, according to the dictionary. Fascinating. Fiery, fascinating serpent, having seven heads with seven crowns on his head, or on the heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Who are the stars of heaven? Some yes, some no. We're both. There's both. Remember that God has stars and Satan has stars. I think my warning to here would be that that once you're saved, you still can be deceived. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to earth. Now remember, as we study Revelation, nearly every time the word earth is used, it's talking about bad, not good. Even though God made the earth good. This reference is, threw them into an earthly lifestyle. All right? Not every time, but nearly every time. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. By the way, we're in Revelation 12:4. And the dragon stood before the woman. All right? The dragon stood before the bride, the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now see, this is historical. And it's Revelation also. That's exactly what happened several times in the Old Testament. Satan killed every male child, remember? Okay, so this is not only prophetical, but it's historical. The serpent deceived many and drew them to him. This is my translation. The serpent deceived many and drew them to him. He brought them down to an earthly lifestyle from a heavenly lifestyle. Then he again stood waiting to destroy what the bride was to conceive, which was Jesus. Now, in our life today, this very day, every time that you have become pregnant with a will of God, and about the time you are ready to give birth, he comes to kill. Right? Mm-hmm. Seed being stolen. So that you can never get a harvest. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. This is historical. This is prophetical. This is personal. Look at it. When you decide that you're going to give birth to a will of God, his will is to devour it, to destroy it, make sure it doesn't bring forth any life. What does God do with it? Right here. What does he say he does with it? He catches it up, takes it into his throne. If that's your will, if you will protect that, if you will fight for that child, that birth, don't give it up. Don't throw it to Satan. She gave birth to a firstborn son who was to shepherd and direct the nations with an unmovable reign. That's what with a rod of iron means, unmovable reign. God enforced this rule with his position by bringing to himself and seating his son in heavenly places with him. By the way, that's where you are also, according to the word. How do we enforce the birth and the life of the will of God in our life? With a rod of iron. What does that mean? Stand up, the song said. Didn't it? Stand up. Don't sit there and be a wimp. The Bible says he doesn't like sissies. God doesn't like sissies. The word is effeminate, but that's what it means. Soft. Don't be soft. Rule a will of God in your life with a rod of iron, with a word of God. That's a rod of iron. Don't bend. Don't move. Don't give up. I wish I knew how to put growl in this and make it not sound theatrical. But one of the biggest problems in our lives is we don't have enough guts. We are afraid we might lose or get beat up. Well, so what? The devil only has one thing to use against you. I'll say this a trillion times if it's one. He'll threaten. Your job is to say, I'm not afraid of you. But you don't know what I can do to you. Yes, I do. I read it. Nothing. I'm not afraid of you. Yeah, but you look in the Bible. Look what I did to Job. Well, that was his problem. The solution is at the end of the book. I repent, I pray for my friends, and everything is restored. Right? That's if we lose. Well, let's don't lose. Let's stand against him with a rod of iron. That'd be the word of God. Don't move. Here's what happened. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, for those that you of you that like the tribulation, that word, as a picture of time, that's 3.5 years, that number of days. Now, the birth, they just got through saying that the birth, that offspring was taken to the throne of God, right? But this says that the woman fled into the wilderness. I think we do this a lot, by the way, according to this scripture and according to our own lives. Even when we do give birth to the will of God, we'll run and hide. Kind of leaving the offspring by itself. God takes care of it, as we see here. But what are we doing running and hiding? All right, let's just say in the tribulation that we had to. According to this, we have to run. We have to flee. What happens? Well, there's a place prepared by God. In case you're afraid, you're not running from anybody. You're running to a place prepared by God, where she might be taken care of, protected, nourished, pampered is the definition of that. That don't sound too bad. I wouldn't mind being pampered by God. That sounds good, doesn't it? Even in attacks, God has prepared a place of sweet fattening. That is the exact definition of they should feed. Sweet fattening for us if we will not fear or go to our place, our prepared place. That is the way He protects us and the birth of Jesus and others. Now, if we believe in mid-trib, this would be mid-trib, 3.5 years, then we believe that we're protected for the time that we're here and sweetly fattened, are kept nice for God. By the way, I don't believe God wants a skinny bride when He comes to get her. He don't want a fat one, but He don't want a skinny one. He wants them pleasing. That's why He's going to feed them, take care of them. He doesn't want one that's all beat up, stomped on. Right? Okay, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Where is the bride right now? In the place of sweet fattening. Right? You know what wilderness is? The definition of wilderness is a place by yourself. It's not negative. There's nothing negative about that definition of that word. It's just a place where you're not by yourself without God. You're just not surrounded by a bunch of chatter and stuff. It's what they call wilderness. Michael was referred was called an archangel, however you like to say it. The definition of the word means who is like God. And the thought process is that he was a guardian angel over the people of God, the Israelites. So in that case, he's still there. Or the spirit is still there. The war was going on, and we were not a part of it, except in our faith. We're standing strong in our faith. Verse 8, and prevailed not, the dragon did not prevail, neither was there a place found any more in heaven for him. Right? Let me remind you of something. Light and darkness will not be found in the same place. Ever. Not in you, not in heaven, not in the sky, nowhere. The enemy can never win against God's people. The enemy is weaker. By the way, this is, once again, historical in the Bible, reference from Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, which says, How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's not the back of the book, by the way. That's Isaiah. Everybody says the back of the book, but that's Isaiah. His sentence, the people of God knew his sentence before Revelation. Right? Okay. What I think. That's what I think. Two things, once again, or three things actually. One, we're looking way back to when Lucifer fell. We're looking at the time when Jesus was birthed into the world. We're also looking at a time when Jesus was birthed in us. Or I've said a couple of times, the will of God birthed in us, which is always Jesus. The will of God is always Jesus. And one other thing. We're looking forward. I still think some of these things are going to happen at the in the end time. But I think my job has been, I've thought that my job was to pull away from looking at the book of Revelation only be to a prophetic statement, only going to happen. If we can realize that many of these things have already happened, then we can realize that we were protected through those things that have already happened. We're going to be protected through the things that are going to happen. God's not double-minded. He does the same way all the time. That's what I want us to keep looking. That's the reason I keep looking backwards in these, so that our faith will be built in the fact that if we're the bride and if we have to flee to... And I'm not saying that the desert is the wilderness place or the western slope or wherever. I'm saying that if we're kind of out of place to our normal way of life, it's a place that God has prepared for our protection while He whips up on the devil. And while He nurtures His will. We've started something here. You understand that? Anytime you lay forth a word of testimony, you've started something. You've given birth to something. Me sitting there with that guy yesterday saying what I said has birthed something. I have no doubt about that. Now, God will protect the nurturing of that. I don't have to go back and hold His hand. Do I care about Him? Absolutely. Hope I get to see Him again. But if I don't, God will protect His plan there, His birth. He will raise that, bring forth the harvest. Now, in Luke 10 also, I just referred to Isaiah, but let me read you a couple of verses in Luke 10, 17 through 19. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Still referring back, right? And because he will fall, not from heaven anymore, but he will fall again. Some people may determine that's heaven, but behold, I give you the authority. This is Jesus. This is red letters. This is important. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. If you don't ever remember anything else about Revelation, just remember Luke. If there's anything in there that ever makes you worry, it says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you because I have given you authority to stomp him in the ground. That's what trample means. Walk on him with your big feet. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. It's not the devil, it's called devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Where was he cast out into? The earth. And I remind you again, that's why that the Revelation, every time he mentions earth, he's talking about a place where Satan kind of rules and his people live with him. That's earth. All right? That's what we're seeing here. He was cast in the earth. All right. The serpent was cast down to earthly life just as he had cast others in just a couple of verses ago, right? All of his followers went with him now and forever. I will tell you again, the devil means seducer. It means accuser, slanderer, one that misrepresents. The word is diablos, which means slanderer, slanderous, accusing, accuser. That's what the word devil means, accuser. Supreme enemy of God and man. Supreme enemy of God and man. Those that serve him are serving the enemy to themselves, right? Satan also means the accuser. It means apostasy, or he incites apostasy. You know what that means? Believing the wrong thing. Yeah, you used to know the truth and now you move away from it. You started believing a lie. I want to remind all of us that nobody was born with a silver spoon in their mouth that can't be taken out. I don't care what the teaching has been in the past. The more I study the Word, the more I understand that you faith without works on that faith, you're dead. I was raised with a lot of people that believe that once you ever gave your heart to God, there was no way that you could make it to hell even if you tried. And everything I find out about the Bible, everything I read tells me that's wrong. It's wrong. You need to guard your salvation with fear and trembling. Working it out just doesn't mean each situation. It means working out the entire life situation with fear and trembling. Satan is still alive. He's still real. He still wants to convince us to believe a lie. Why would he convince a Christian to believe a lie if there wasn't a chance for him to get you back? Listen, the devil doesn't whip up on Christians just to hurt you. He wants you back. That's why he's so busy. If he can't get you back, second best is to kill you. And of course, you can only allow him to do that. He can't do that on his own. We've already seen that. We'll see it again. Satan means adversary and accuser, one who opposes another in purpose or act. The name given to the prince of evil spirits. He's by circumventing men with his cunning. Okay, let me insult you just a second. Every time that the devil has his way in your life, it means he outsmarted you. That's what that says. He was more cunning than you. Me. I won't have to just throw that to you. That's me too. Let's not allow him to be smarter than us, ever. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Once again, we're looking at a scripture that goes way back, present, and into the future. He's already been cast down. Has he not already been cast down? Didn't we just read that? So we're not talking about something that's going to happen in the future, except it will happen in the future because he's going to be cast down from this level to a lower level. But we need to understand, right now, this day, he's already been cast down. That's the only way we're going to walk victorious. I heard a loud voice. Remember, every time you hear the word voice in Revelation, it means language or saying. It's not just connected to a sound box. There's something coming out with that sound box, a promise to us, a threat to everybody else, or a negative promise. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When has come salvation? Are we walking in salvation? According to this, when? Now, right? When was this stated? The minute Satan fell. The minute Jesus was birthed. When was Jesus birthed? The minute we realized he was birthed. He was never birthed. He was always here. But he is birthed to us. So the minute you read this, by the way, Revelations, it says, blessed are those that read this. So the minute you understand that Jesus, Satan has fallen and Jesus is alive, salvation is now to you. Okay? By the way, at the end times, when Jesus comes, it's too late to get saved. Right? So we're not talking about when He comes the second time. That's not salvation. It's not then. It's over then. Okay, now has come salvation. Along with that has come strength. Along with that has come the kingdom of our God. And along with that, the power of His Christ, His anointed. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Now, I'm not even going to go into that. I want to tell you what I will say this. The only way that God ever hears an accusation about you is if we've already received it. Okay? Just because that an accusation comes our way, if I do my job, the thing that God has given me, the ability to rest in what He's done for me, I will say, pfft. And it never even reaches the ears of God. But if I have to receive it, if I take offense, if I become the offended brother, it's just like Job. When Job walked into the presence of God, guess who walked in with him? Satan walked right in there too. The voice and the accusations walked right in. God and Satan do not play checkers. They don't have conversations. They don't play Scrabble. They don't play anything. They don't have conversations about me. There's several parents in here that have kind of walked through this. Your children get in trouble. You have to go through the accusations. You understand what I'm saying? You sometimes sit in court with them. And you have to go through the misery because they got themselves into something. If they would have resisted that, you would have never been there. You understand what I'm trying to say? God never goes into those situations unless you drag Him in. He doesn't have conversations with the devil unless we bring the devil with us. You think He likes him? Well, I've got news for you. God don't put up with people He don't like unless He has to on the behalf of His children. And some of us know that. Bill's dealing with that right now. Some scoundrel that's because there's been some kind of relationship with one of his sons, he has to put up with some of this for a season. The trouble for him is that God is looking out for Bill and his and Bill's son because of our prayers, because of his prayers. That boy is in trouble. He just don't understand it yet. He will be. He will. Let me read you my translation. According to the word salvation, strength, power. Then I heard God say, "This has been done. I have given my anointed, those that smell like me, salvation, safety, a deliverer, deliverance, that will fight for you. The deliverer will fight for you. Preservation from all enemies, all dangers, all diseases. You will fear nothing. I have given you a place to rule, and I've given you the ability, power, influence, strength, covenant, and wisdom to rule over all. This is an enemy that will, there is an enemy that will lie to you and about you, and about God, by the way, and try to deceive you, but he is already defeated, so do not fear." Now that's translation from the definitions. I didn't make it up. I just added the words that they gave me. That's the amplified version, truly. You're safe. You're safe. Big letters, sozo, safe. You know, when you cross that base at home and the guy goes safe, there's no other call. Us as Christians, we stand up and say, "I don't think I hit that base right. Take that score off." But God says, "Done." All we have to do is accept the call. The call is safe. Yeah. You are safe from molestation of enemies. You have been given miraculous power. I'm looking at exact definitions now. You've been given force, miraculous power, ability, abundance, to be able to or possible to, strength, power for performing miracles, moral power for excellence of soul. That's all those definitions. The kingdom is rule and royalty. The word power is privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, influence. How do you like those definitions? Authority over mankind. That doesn't mean you have authority over me. That means you have authority of those that reside in the earth. To do what? To hurt them? Better not. That's Satan's job. To deliver them. That was Jesus' authority, and He's given that to you. Deliver yourself, deliver him, that other person. Verse 11, and they overcame him. Who's him? Okay. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is one we really, really, really ought to get down. It doesn't say they will overcome. It says they overcame. Who? Everybody that's ever gone to heaven has done this, and everybody that ever intends to go to heaven will do this on a daily basis. I was reading some of my notes here. Excuse me. Here's the Amplified version from the definitions. They chased and subdued and stomped the enemies by Jesus' atoning blood and by the word of their speaking the word as evidence. Their word speaking the word as evidence. They did not worry. They did not fear when the enemy threatened them with death or poverty or sickness. They knew what had already been done by Jesus. They stood on that and presented the word to all. Now listen, it's not good enough for us to overcome. That's not good enough. We present our testimony. See, the testimony, if I just spoke to the mirror, it really wouldn't be a testimony. You're not called to testify to yourself. You overcome by referring to what Jesus did, the blood of the Lamb, dying on the cross, that's what He did, and by the word of your testimony. First that convinces you, or reminds you, and then it convicts others. That's the formula right there. There's your good scientific formula. You cause overcoming by pointing to Jesus and testifying. Right? It causes you, your faith to be built, but more than that, it causes conviction and faith in others. And that's our job on this earth. You weren't born so that you could have a happy life. That's part of it. You were born so you could make my life happy by your testimony. My life stronger by your testimony. And mine, my testimony makes your life stronger. That's what we're here for. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice. See, I read this to you before. If we didn't do anything else, we could stop here, never read another word in the Bible, and we'd have enough to live on forever. Therefore, rejoice. Anybody in here that's got a problem, therefore, rejoice. Ye heavens. Actually, the word ye was not in the original original scroll, so the word it says, therefore, rejoice, heavens. And ye that dwell in them. Whoa, 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 whoa. Who dwells in the heavens? I've been telling you this all the time, and here's the scripture that confirms it. Who dwells in the heavens? We do. You in this in Revelation, you are either part of the earth or you dwell in heaven. And you don't be part of the earth because that's where Satan's ruling and reigning. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, see, do you want woe or you want rejoice? Hard choice, isn't it? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, or the sea, I mean, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, that word means passion and desire, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's smarter than some of us. Okay. If this was in the future, who is in the heavens? If it is not us now. Heaven is us being where Jesus is. Earth is where Satan is. That's the simplicity of this whole thing. Heaven is where Jesus is. Earth is where Satan's at. That's what we're referring to here. Here's what it says. Rejoice, all of you who live in God and His salvation, Jesus. Woe to those that serve themselves, therefore serve Satan. He is filled with passion to destroy you and the earth because he knows that he does not have long to work before his punishment begins and his puny false authority ends. See, I think that's the scariest part to him. He's too dumb. No, he's seared to hell. It's one of the problems that happens in Christianity and the church. We get seared to hell. It no longer scares us. That's why we have to move into a higher place, and that is how precious God is. See, when we understand how precious God is, hell will never even affect us. We won't even have hot thoughts about it. You know? I don't know how else to say it, but it's in the presence of God, there is no hell. It doesn't even exist. But what we do sometimes is we play with God, not fearing hell. Because we've been taught there's no way we can go there. We signed a piece of paper. Ye that dwell means encamp, reside, a symbol of protection and communion. I want you to get that one down. That's what ye that dwell means. It's where you are feel protected and where you have communion. Now, is that in this earth or is it in Christ Jesus? Too many times we have communion with the world and we want fellowship with God, and they can't be. It cannot be. That's why you'll never be part of this world. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, when he woke up to the fact that he was goner, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. He persecuted does not mean persecuted. It doesn't mean that. It means he pursued. Okay? He pursued the woman. It comes from a word that means a waiter. Now, this is a perfect description of Satan. Can I get you something? You understand what I'm saying? He does not come boldly. He comes as a servant, making you think he wants to do something for you. And the whole time, he is pursuing you. Not because he loves you, because he wants to kill you. He doesn't come as a scary thing with a tail and horns. He comes as a waiter in a tuxedo. What can I get for you today? Let's be the wise will understand. That's what we'll see in just a few scriptures. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath eyes to see, let him see. What? Deception is what he is. Okay? Deception is what he is. He doesn't want to wait on you. He wants to kill you. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. The devil didn't get the wings. That she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. That just refers back to that 3.5 years, that so many days. The Bible, the translators really had a hard time with numbers. So they just did the best they could. As long as she's in that place, she's cared for. Woman means a wife. Place, you'll like this one, Larry. It means a scabbard. The idea of a scabbard. Everybody knows what a scabbard is? A knife, a two-edged sword that's slipped inside of a case for protection. Two types of protection. One, anybody that gets near it. Two, the sharpness of the knife blade. A scabbard. So it's a protected place she's at. The bride will be cared for in a safe and good place as a mighty one for the needed time. See, because one time, when she's ready, we're the she, we're whipped out. And we will destroy the enemy. We'll just stay in your resting place until I call for you. That's the hard one, isn't it? We want to go out and war against everything. So by the time we get to the true war, we're dull. Just stay sharp. Stay cool. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That sounds like history. Doesn't it? Sounds like history. also sounds like every day of our lives. Every day. Something's coming out of His mouth to carry us away by a great flood. Kill, destroy. Carried away of the flood means overwhelmed by a stream. The enemy is trying to overwhelm with a flood of threats and lies. That's all he's got. A flood of threats and lies. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman. He doesn't have real good control of the earth, does he? Come on, y'all need to get excited about that one. Even the earth will help you. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Praise God. Oh, that's so neat. That is so neat. Helped means succor, nurse. The earth nursed the bride. Is the earth feeding you now? It is, isn't it? Sustaining you. It will until the day that you no longer need that sustenance. Remember, I've said that before. God put just enough earth and just enough ability of the earth to take care of us just enough time. It will never run out. I don't care what science said. I got science. You know, that guy that I talked to yesterday, he said, what if science proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that our life forms started from another planet? Well, God's the God of the universe. What do I care? But now let me respond to you in a different way. If you are asking me, what if science proves that God didn't create Adam and Eve, you're a liar. Because science will never prove that. It will never prove that. Well, how can you say that? Because I know God. And I know that He's much more reliable than your scientists. That's how I know that. You can't disprove God to me. I know Him. I don't know your scientist. What a bunch of nonsense. Taking a man's word over God. Since when does scientists mean God? Scientist just means a cluck that's been heavy in science. And in this particular case, fooled himself. He believes that he's right and God's wrong. The height of a fool. You know, he needs to sell his diploma and live on it for a while. Quit hurting people. The earth is a place where Satan dwells, but it was created for God's people by God. It was designed to provide for us while we are here. It also helps us resist Satan and his plans. How do I know that? Well, there's some of you talking about herbs now. Where do you think they came from? You think the earth just accidentally produced them? Or was that part of God's plan to help us physically? Am I against herbs? Absolutely not. Not against beef either. I love it. Not against vegetables. I love it. They're not my favorite, but whatever. I'm more meat than potatoes, but... Okay, the earth is on our side. Everybody got that? The earth is on our side. I didn't say it created us, and I didn't say we were supposed to worship it and call it mother. I said it's on our side. According to Genesis 1:26. No, not 1:26. Anyway, we were given dominion on this earth, over this earth, and everything that's on this earth. If I call it mother, I don't have dominion, remember? Don't call it mother. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Tough. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, according to that scripture, who is he warring with right now? Us. Well, let's just get real specific. Those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a two-edged sword. I will warn you. If you All right, if you are of an offspring of Jesus Christ, you've been created by God, and you have a testimony of this fact. You tell people, you will be at war. Isn't that what that says? Of course, we've already determined who has won the war. We just read that. So it's really not much of a war unless we make it that way. How do we make it that way? We're not armed properly. We're not armed with the word. We don't use it properly. Right? We don't use our weapons. They get dirty. They get rusty. They get unusable. And then we can't figure out how we get beat up. How do we stay sharp? Well, we sharpen with the word. We sharpen with the presence of God. We resist the enemy with the blood that or the anointing that we found in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you want a force field, watching Star Trek too much. If you want a force field that's impenetrable, cannot be penetrated, it's the anointing. If you don't, and where do you get the anointing? By rubbing against Jesus. That's the only way. It's in the wilderness, that private time when you're alone with God. And you're in His presence, and you're so close that you get His. See this? Why do you think we have that on our foreheads? Can y'all see that? I'm just as shiny like crazy. It's not gross. It's a spiritual statement. How do I get the mark of Jesus on my forehead? It's called the anointing. I take on His oil. I take on His aftershave. Right? That's part of anointing is a smell. It's perfume. When, by the way, Satan can't stand that smell. He can't stand it. He hates it. That's right. He loves the smell of sulfur. Ooh. Anyway. No, I'm not going to say that. That'll get you in trouble. Anyway. Well, I was just thinking of that smell when you didn't wear deodorant. Anyway. We in Texas call it the Whataburger smell because that's a big burger chain. And when they get a little rank, they get just like that smell. But anyway. I hope that tape doesn't go to Texas. But listen, we have the force field that cannot be penetrated if we have that smell and that anointing, that oil. And you're only one place you can get it, and that's in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Word becomes real to you under that anointing. No anointing, no reality. What did I just get through saying? I'll say it in a different way. The Word will never be real to you unless you spend time with the Word. And I don't mean that Bible. I mean the one, the author of the Word. How do I know that? History tells me that. The Sadducees and the Pharisees tell me that. The church that put Jesus on the cross, the living Word on the cross, tell me that. It was Christians that put Him on the cross. They memorized the Word, put it on their forehead, wore it around their waist, wrote it on the walls, and yet when He walked in, they crucified Him. If they'd have spent time with Him, they'd have recognized Him. How are we going to recognize the difference between light and light? You remember, Satan comes as what? An angel of light. How are we going to understand the difference between light and light? How are we going to understand? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the church in Jesus' time, they failed that test. They thought they knew light, and when light walked in, they hung the light, the real light, on the cross and chose knowledge instead. We're going to know the real light. Hey, listen. In a statement, remember I've said it before, that guy that said, I am a professional at knowing counterfeit money. And they said, how did you learn? He said, I spent a lot of time looking at the real thing. So it's easy for me to recognize the false. So if an angel came through there, let me tell you what. I'm going to tell you a scenario that I guarantee you would happen. If the devil walked in right back there right now, 80% of us would be deceived. We would say, that is a man of God. That sends chill bumps, don't it? It ought to. Because that's what I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what I think or what I wish. And I'm not saying that's because you're bad. I'm saying that, generally speaking, I just gave you a fact of life in all churches. It could be more than that. We can go anywhere from 50%, the virgins, the 10, or we can go to the Gideon's army, which is less than 1%. We'll know the difference. I don't know what the formula will be. I just know it's not going to be good. How are you going to know the difference? Something right here. It's the only thing you've got to count on. I will go as far to say, well, let me ask you something. How do you know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of Satan? What, I'll ask you a different way. What is the difference? Nothing. Not a bit of difference. You may not like that, but that's the truth. There is no difference between the voice of God and the voice of Satan to our way we hear right now. That's why he so easily trips up people many times. They're not practicing. How do I, if the voice is the same, if the voice is exactly the same, how do I know which is from God and which is not? Well, I said a while ago right here. That's how you'll know. You'll know the Word of God and you'll know the Word, Jesus, of God. How can I say this? If somebody came to me tomorrow and told me that Larry stole something, he stole a rifle. He was so much in love with that rifle, he stole it. I'm going to say, no, he didn't. No. And they're going to say, how do you know that? So I know Larry. How else can I answer you? I don't know how else to answer you that I know Larry. He wouldn't steal that gun. Don't tell me that. I'm just not going to put up with that. I would rather do that and be wrong than be part of the accusation, but that's another side trip. I'm saying if I really know Larry, and I do, y'all can leave your weapons around here all day long. He won't steal them. I promise you, he won't steal them. Don't ever come to me and tell me he did. Because you have just won yourself an enemy. I'm going to now become your enemy. Okay, let's go right back to what I said. If Satan walked in the door and he quoted Scripture, by the way, he knows the Scripture a whole lot better than we do, and he quoted it verbatim for an hour here, and you're just floored and you're amazed because he is an angel of light. He is an amazing, fascinating man, person, entity. How are you going to know? You know what? I've been with Jesus a lot, and you're not him. Just like I said about Larry. You're not him. Well, what's the difference? I don't know. I don't know how to explain it to you. I just know you're not him. I come with a prophecy. I have to know at that moment whether that's a word from God or not. Because it could actually change the direction of my entire life. And there'll be something. I don't know how to explain it. There's something right here and you know. See, God gives you encouragement. And he gives you light. And he gives you joy. And he gives you peace. And anything else is not God. Okay? We've got to get it down. If we intend to survive, well, I'm not going to get there today. But if we would go on to where the mark of the beast is taken, you have to know where it's a good mark or a bad mark. You have to know. There's a lot of Christian people right now that have a lot of knowledge about what the mark of the beast will finally end up being. But where it started is what you really ought to know. What you really ought to know. How do I know? Well, how about some good common sense? You guys know about your Social Security number? If I were to bring you my Social Security card, which I have the original, I have it in a safe, I do it for my own protection, it says that it cannot, under any conditions, be used as an identification. That's what it says. Did you know that's what your Social Security started out as? Yours doesn't say that. Mine did. Because that was the contract that was made with the people. Where did it change? Deception. How? A waiter that says, come, let me do something nice for you. You need a retirement. Let me do it for you. All you have to do is give me your birth date. Let me give you a name, a number, and let me use that as an identification. It's all you have to do. Trust me. It's for your good. Church, wake up. Don't let things go on in the name of it's for your good when it's not for your good. My children didn't even have a Social Security number until, I don't know if Desiree still has one. Jason finally took one, but I didn't give it to him. Well, how did that help you? Homeschool. They didn't even know I had a kid because they didn't have a Social Security number. Now they've gone for all these years till they're 18 years old. It's very difficult for the government to catch up. Don't give the government a lot of credit. They're not very bright. They're not. IRS is dumber than them. Don't be afraid. See, they've got us walking in fear. Don't be afraid. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you're walking in the anointing, know the protection that you have in Christ Jesus. Don't fight all your life. Don't fight the government. Know who you are in the government. Well, let me say it one more step. Know that you are the government.
Right.
Know that you are the government. And if we'll ever really get a grasp on what the city church is, know that if you're part of that city church, you have more authority than the government itself, according to the Word, not according to my wish. Let me finish off verse 17 in my translation. The dragon was wroth. Here's what it says. The devil was angry and gave up on Jesus and decided to try to destroy those seed of God remaining on earth that are not just professing but are living the life of Christ. Let me tell you something. A professing Christian doesn't scare him one little bit. Never has. You can fling the name of Jesus all over anything if you're just professing and not living. What gives your testimony witness or our authority is when you're living what you're testifying. Otherwise, you are nothing. You're as hollow as Satan himself. And you're just as should be just as scary, which means you're not. See, I know this guy. His name is Devil. And he, Jeff, I'm going to describe some people that you all have known. He tells some of the craziest stories. He lies all the time. He threatens. Nobody pays any attention to him. Most people think he's kind of a nut. Have you all ever met anybody like that? Oh, please. Where have you been? Under a rock? Goodness alive. I've known more guys than I got fingers and toes. But one comes in my mind just every time. He didn't know how to tell the truth. Now, I'm not kidding you. If it came to the point where the lie would hurt him and the truth would set him free, he would tell the lie. And you'd just look at him and everybody knew he was a liar. And so nobody believed anything he says. Now, where are you? You know a guy like that. His name is Satan. All he's ever done is lie to you. All he's ever done to anybody you've ever known is lie to you. Why do you ever believe anything he says? I don't understand. Well, what's a lie? You're broke. What's a lie? You're sick. What's a lie? I can kill you. What's a lie? I kill your children. What's a lie? You go ahead and raise them that old church way. I'll take them later when you're not looking. You better be careful. I'll cause you to have a wreck. You can't cross me. Do you understand? And you know how many times we tremble because of a lie? Why? We have the truth. Man, this chapter is full of the truth. One of these days, I hope I get a full revelation of this, not just talk about it, where I'm not afraid of anything. Let me tell you, how do you know if I'm afraid? When I'm upset, I'm afraid. When I'm at peace, I'm in Christ Jesus. Now that's very condemning to all of us. Not just to you, but to me too. If I'm upset, if I'm afraid, I'm believing a lie. If I'm at peace, I'm in Christ Jesus. Because the promise is to give you peace that passes all understanding. What's that mean? You won't understand it about when I'm in peace, and I won't understand when you're in peace, but I'll know when you're in peace. Well, is it peace when you laugh? Mm-mm. Man, I've seen some people laugh 24 hours a day when I knew they were just in constant turmoil. Laughter's not peace. Sometimes it's just the opposite. Well, how about talk? No, man. You'll know a guy that never has any peace because he never stops talking. Cannot be alone with himself. Church, I'm going to tell you something. If you can be quiet in the presence of God, you got it made. You got it made. Took me a long time to figure that out. If you can be quiet at night, you got it made. Night's the worst time. It really is. That's when tormentors come. But one day, everybody in this place, I promise you, we'll have that. We're not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for you, and you're not going to settle for me. We're going to have it, right? I don't care if the devil wakes us up in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. We're going to have the song of joy and the song of victory on our lips. And when a guy comes and says, "Tell me why I don't have God in my life," that is scary. Think about it. You are now holding a guy's life in your hands. And you're saying, "God, what is it that he wants to hear? What does he need to hear? I don't have it, but you do. What is it?" Or I can get sweaty palms, like I used to do, and choke up out of fear. Because that's the devil saying, when you know that it's not you, there can be two things that make you determine that. One, the devil's saying you're not able. Or two, you know you're not able. But God only gives you that knowledge. Fine line, fine line. That's why so many are going to be deceived. The other part of victory is knowing who else isn't able. Satan is not able. Right? He's not able. That's what the Bible says. Anybody reading ahead, any at all? Good. Praise the Lord. The Bible says you'll be blessed by reading Revelation. Please. Go back and review. It doesn't make any difference how many times you read it. Every time you read it, God will add more to you. He really will. That's what He promised here. Praise God. I don't know what I feel, but what do we need to do? We need to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't mind telling you that. I don't know what it is.